Okay, coming to you from the Amtrak Coast Starlight along the Oregon coast somewhere in the middle of the night. It's Spikescape, episode number 62, January 21st, 2008.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah. Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, well, welcome to Bikescape. This is your host, John Winston. As I said, I'm on the train on the Amtrak Coast Starlight going southbound somewhere through Cascadia in the middle of the night. I've just completed 5 days at the Towards Car Free Cities Conference in Portland, put on by Shift, the local bike advocacy group. It was an amazing time. Everybody was inspired by all the things that happened. Everybody learned, everybody taught, and everybody met people they've heard of for years. I met somebody, the organizer of Critical Mass from Sao Paulo, Brazil. I met Gil Peñalosa, the person who invented the ciclovia in Bogota, Colombia. It was just an amazing week. It started out with depaving day. On the first day we depaved a parking lot. I'll get to that in a minute. Then it went to 3 days of workshops and social times, which was really excellent. We got to spend lots of quality time with each other, with people we knew as well as with people we didn't know. I came up on the train with 10 people, some of whom I knew well and some I were just acquaintances. Steve Jones from the Bay Guardian, the city editor. Jason Henderson, a professor of geography at San Francisco State. Some old friends, Nancy Botkin, Rich Coffin. We all sat around, drank, had very stimulating conversations about politics, planning, and just stuff. And we all became very close over an 18-hour train ride from San Francisco to Portland. The first thing we did on Tuesday when we got to Portland was we went to an event organized by Urban Repair, a much heralded group from Portland that repairs intersections, does all sorts of little minor things to the city that change everybody's life and create community. What they had in mind for Portland that day was to depave a parking lot. We went, and they had prepared it already. They chopped it up a little bit, but we got a lot of volunteers, and we started chopping away at the parking lot. When we were done, what used to be a parking lot was the beginning of what will soon be a community garden. So let's go there now. All right, I'm standing at the corner of Fargo and Williams, Northeast Portland. A little bit of a festival here, music, and there's a parking lot with a few wheelbarrows and shovels in it. Everybody's sort of standing around having coffee, and there's lots of video cameras everywhere. The media is present, mostly alternative blogger media. What's your name?
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the coordinator of the Towards Car Free Cities Conference.
And what you doing here? What's going on today?
We are tearing up a parking lot. It's kind of an ugly parking lot. It's been through some rough times, and now it's going to have a beautiful new life as a community garden.
So whose parking lot is this?
It belongs to the owner of the coffee shop next door, The Waypost. Her name's Angela Goldsmith, and she decided she wanted to do something better with her parking lot than store cars on it.
She doesn't think that her business will go down if she doesn't have a lot of space for people to park when they get to drop their coffee off. Does someone have a drive-through or something?
Well, you notice all the bikes parked around here to everything that you can possibly park a bike to. That's kind of her problem. She doesn't have enough parking for the people who are coming to her coffee shop.
That's great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I also want to welcome you to the Towards Car-Free Cities Conference. This event is mainly hosted by DPAVE, but it's the first day of our conference. This is the 8th international edition of the Towards Car-Free Cities Conference series, and it's the first time it's ever been held in North America. And I think, as such, it's really fitting that we're spending our first day at the conference actually taking out a parking lot, which really nobody needs. So hopefully this will inspire you for the rest of the week. If any of you are here just for the DPAVing and you don't know about the conference, I want to let you know that tomorrow, Tuesday, June 17th, is our free public day. It's at PSU at the Smith Center, 1825 Southwest Broadway, and it's from 8 to 4, and it's totally free. We'll have a program on how to be car-free with kids, and another one on the history of the Mount Hood Freeway in Portland, and another one on the Columbia River Crossing, which is a new freeway expansion project that's coming up pretty soon. It's controversial right now. And we'll also have a chance for you to redesign your own street. And then we have an art show after that at City Hall, which is going to be amazing. You should all go 5 to 8 at City Hall. I don't know what's happening back there. And other events you should come to that are free, open to the public. We have a movie night on Wednesday night at the Eco Trust Building in Northwest Portland. And on Thursday... No, they can come, it's okay. I still don't know who those are. On Thursday night, we're having a square dance in the street at Old Town Chinatown. And again, the community is welcome. So you can find out about these all these public events at carfreeportland.org or at the registration table over there. So that's all the boring bureaucratic stuff. Now I want to talk about the frogs, which is the real reason that we're having this event. Not the conference, not the like beautiful community garden, not a nice space for people to walk. This is all about the frogs. The frogs are an indicator species. That basically means they're the canaries in the gold mine, and I don't see any frogs around here. I don't know about the rest of you. This parking lot has been kind of a hostile environment. All the stormwater just drains off into the sewer, so it's not a good place for frogs to live, and we're hoping to change that. So I have a feeling that they might be coming back, though, over the course of the day.
Right, there's a bunch of people coming in, they're banging on drums, they're walking on stilts, they got big asphalt chopping machines, only oversized things.
Yeah!
Marching into the crowd.
And the depaving begins. Yeah. And that's the sound of parking lot being turned into a park. The landowner, Angela Goldsmith, said she was really happy to get rid of the parking spaces. And her tenant next door, the Waypost Coffee House, is going to get some bicycle parking. And what they're going to do is they're going to take all the rainwater that falls on the surrounding buildings, and they're going to bring it down and treat it rather than have it run into the sewers. And there it will sustain another well-needed urban garden, providing local food to the neighborhood. And I believe they'll be having parties in the evening. It'll be open to the public during the day, a source of education and sustenance for the neighborhood. Now, joining the local neighbors were members of the city council, candidates for the city council, and people from all over the world. Tiago Manicchio, whose emails I've been reading for years, his dispatches from Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's the originator of Critical Mass there. He was digging up concrete. There were people from everywhere. Chris Carlson from San Francisco, I think I saw him. And there was a lot of conversation along with the digging. So there's a lot of media here, a lot of people with cameras.
Yeah.
And some mainstream media, Channel 8, you said, and Oregon Public Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's your name?
My name is Paul.
You're not MSM at all.
Oh, no. If you call me MSM, I will be thoroughly insulted and will beat you to the pulp and run you over with my bike.
But you still check your facts before you upload, right?
Facts. Facts? That's a four-letter word.
So you came out. So you're a blogger, okay? And you, what's the name of your blog?
The name of my blog is outdoormobileadvertising.com, and it'll actually point you to a blog called bikebillboards.blogspot.com. And what it is I'm actually in the outdoor mobile advertising business. And, of course, to me, outdoor mobile advertising means a bicycle billboard.
Oh, I sort of thought one of those big trucks with a billboard on it. No.
Are you crazy?
No. What?
I mean, those guys will thoroughly run out of diesel before they're gonna turn even.
And you do this in Tulsa?
Absolutely.
Tulsa has a lot of bicycles? Or how big of a town is it? How many people live in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Well, the transportation DNA of Tulsa, Oklahoma is exactly the same transportation DNA of Portland, Oregon, believe it or not.
About the same density and everything?
Pretty much. Portland certainly has some advantages. Tulsa has some advantages over Portland. Portland has some disadvantages compared to Tulsa.
Really?
Absolutely. In terms of demographics, transportation DNA, and so forth, they're basically the same. It's an auto-centric culture. Let's face it. We're sitting here at $4.27 per gallon Portland average as of this morning today, reported by one of the MSN, and the I-5 is still. We've still got a traffic jam on the I-5.
Well, the train from San Francisco was full to capacity. And it has been every day, and they've been turning people away. Beautiful. There were a lot of bikes on the train this time.
Well, you know, San Francisco, that's a completely different situation. Your transportation DNA is more like New York City.
It's somewhere in between here in New York, yeah.
Yeah, because you're very dense. A lot of your growth is going up rather than out.
That's the plan anyway.
Right.
Still have parking lots around all the offices.
There's still a lot of free parking. And, you know, if you get rid of the whole idea of free parking, let market decide what kind of parking it is, guess what kind of parking they will build.
Yeah.
Bike parking.
Well, that's what we're doing here.
Absolutely. This is a beautiful deal. You know, I've heard of depaving movements. One of the first guys I ran into was, actually, he was akin to the Lundbergs. I don't know if you're familiar with the Lundbergs. The Lundberg Report.
Oh, yeah, the ones who report on gas prices?
That's it.
Yeah.
And this guy was out of, if I recall, out of Northern California, Alliance for Pavement Moratorium. Huh. And his last name was Lundberg. He is actually related to the gasoline Lundbergs. This was back in, back in the night, in the early 90s. And I don't know if he was actually the forefather of the deep pavement movement, but I think this right here is actually a long descendant of that situation.
And interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's quite a history.
You got a link to pass on about that or anything, or a place to search?
I guess you could Google Alliance for Pavement Moratorium.
Okay.
Lundberg, Lundberg, and Google that. And right. I'm sure you, I don't know if he still had that website up, but at the time I was working in L.A. as a bike program coordinator, the first one, and he had contacted me about this Alliance for Pavement Moratorium. I go, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, pavement is kind of like a two-edged sword.
Well, I know 80% of San Francisco is paved. There's no that the open soil is not. There's not much of it.
That's right. It's a concrete jungle. But the kicker irony of this is the pavement movement originated from the bicycle movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ten years ago they were doing it in Chicago. I remember.
No. The paving movement.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Bicycle,
I agree, yes.
Okay, coming to you from the Amtrak Coast Starlight along the Oregon coast somewhere in the middle of the night. It's Bikescape, episode number 62, January 21st, 2008.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah. Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
It's a all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, well, welcome to Bikescape. This is your host, John Winston. As I said, I'm on the train on the Amtrak Coast Starlight going southbound somewhere through Cascadia in the middle of the night. I've just completed 5 days at the Towards Car Free Cities Conference in Portland, put on by Shift, the local bike advocacy group. It was an amazing time. Everybody was inspired by all the things that happened. Everybody learned, everybody taught, and everybody met people they've heard of for years. I met somebody, the organizer of Critical Mass from Sao Paulo, Brazil. I met Gil Peñalosa, the person who invented the ciclovia in Bogota, Colombia. It was just an amazing week. It started out with depaving day. On the first day we depaved a parking lot. I'll get to that in a minute. Then it went to 3 days of workshops and social times, which was really excellent. We got to spend lots of quality time with each other, with people we knew as well as with people we didn't know. I came up on the train with 10 people, some of whom I knew well and some I were just acquaintances. Steve Jones from the Bay Guardian, the city editor. Jason Henderson, a professor of geography at San Francisco State. Some old friends, Nancy Botkin, Rich Coffin. We all sat around, drank, had very stimulating conversations about politics, planning, and just stuff. And we all became very close over an 18-hour train ride from San Francisco to Portland. The first thing we did on Tuesday when we got to Portland was we went to an event organized by Urban Repair, a heralded group from Portland that repairs intersections, does all sorts of little minor things to the city that change everybody's life and create community. What they had in mind for Portland that day was to depave a parking lot. We went and they had prepared it already. They chopped it up a little bit, but we got a lot of volunteers and we started chopping away at the parking lot. When we were done, what used to be a parking lot was the beginning of what will soon be a community garden. So let's go there now.
All right, I'm standing at the corner of Fargo and Williams, Northeast Portland. A little bit of a festival here, music, and there's a parking lot with a few wheelbarrows and shovels in it. Everybody's sort of standing around having coffee. And there's lots of video cameras everywhere. The media is present. Mostly alternative blogger media. What's your name?
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the coordinator of the Towards Car Free Cities Conference.
And what's you doing here? What's going on today?
We are tearing up a parking lot. It's kind of an ugly parking lot. It's been through some rough times, and now it's going to have a beautiful new life as a community garden.
So whose parking lot is this?
It belongs to the owner of the coffee shop next door, the Waypost. Her name's Angela Goldsmith, and she decided she wanted to do something better with her parking lot than store cars on it.
She doesn't think that her business will go down if she doesn't have a lot of space for people to park when they get to drop their coffee off? Does someone have a drive-through or something?
Well, you notice all the bikes parked around here to everything that you can possibly park a bike to. That's kind of her problem. She doesn't have enough parking for the people who are coming to her coffee shop.
That's great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I also want to welcome you to the Towards Car Free Cities Conference. This event is mainly hosted by DPAVE, but it's the first day of our conference. This is the 8th international edition of the Towards Car Free Cities Conference series, and it's the first time it's ever been held in North America. And I think, as such, it's really fitting that we're spending our first day at the conference actually taking out a parking lot, which really nobody needs. So hopefully this will inspire you for the rest of the week. If any of you are here just for the depaving and you don't know about the conference, I want to let you know that tomorrow, Tuesday, June 17th, is our free public day. It's at P PSU at the Smith Center, 1825 Southwest Broadway, and it's from 8 to 4, and it's totally free. We'll have a program on how to be car-free with kids, and another one on the history of the Mount Hood Freeway in Portland, and another one on the Columbia River Crossing, which is a new freeway expansion project that's coming up pretty soon. It's controversial right now. And we'll also have a chance for you to redesign your own street. And then we have an art show after that at City Hall, which is going to be amazing. You should all go 5 to 8 at City Hall. I don't know what's happening back there. And other events you should come to that are free, open to the public. We have a movie night on Wednesday night at the EcoTrust Building in Northwest Portland. And on Thursday... No, they can come. It's okay. I still don't know who those are. On Thursday night, we're having a square dance in the street at Old Town Chinatown. And again, the community is welcome. So you can find out about these all these public events at carfreeportland.org or at the registration table over there. So that's all the boring bureaucratic stuff. Now I want to talk about the frogs, which is the real reason that we're having this event. Not the conference, not the like beautiful community garden, not a nice space for people to walk. This is all about the frogs. The frogs are an indicator species. That basically means they're the canaries in the gold mine, and I don't see any frogs around here. I don't know about the rest of you. This parking lot has been kind of a hostile environment. All the stormwater just drains off into the sewer, so it's not a good place for frogs to live, and we're hoping to change that. So I have a feeling that they might be coming back, though, over the course of the day.
Right. There's a bunch of people coming in. They're banging on drums. They're walking on stilts. They got big asphalt chopping machines. Only oversized things.
Yeah!
Marching into the crowd.
And the depaving begins. And that's the sound of parking lot being turned into a park. The landowner, Angela Goldsmith, said she was really happy to get rid of the parking spaces. And her tenant next door, the Waypost Coffee House, is going to get some bicycle parking. And what they're going to do is they're going to take all the rainwater that falls on the surrounding buildings, and they're going to bring it down and treat it rather than have it run into the sewers. And there it will sustain another well-needed urban garden, providing local food to the neighborhood. And I believe they'll be having parties in the evening. It'll be open to the public during the day, a source of education and sustenance for the neighborhood. Now, joining the local neighbors were members of the city council, candidates for the city council, and people from all over the world. Tiago Manicchio, whose emails I've been reading for years, his dispatches from Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's the originator of Critical Mass there. He was digging up concrete. There were people from everywhere. Chris Carlson from San Francisco, I think I saw him. And there was a lot of conversation along with the digging.
So there's a lot of media here, a lot of people with cameras.
Yeah.
And some mainstream media, Channel 8, you said, and Oregon Public Radio.
Yeah.
But what's your name?
Oh, my name is Paul.
You're not MSM at all.
Oh, no. If you call me MSM, I will be thoroughly insulted and will beat you to the pulp and run you over with my bike.
But you still check your facts before you upload, right?
Facts. Facts? That's a four-letter word.
So you came out. So you're a blogger, okay? And what's the name of your blog?
The name of my blog is outdoormobileadvertising.com, and it'll actually point you to a blog called bikebillboards.blogspot.com. And what it is I'm actually in the outdoor mobile advertising business. And of course, to me, outdoor mobile advertising means a bicycle billboard.
Oh, I sort of thought one of those big trucks with a billboard on it. No,
are you crazy?
No.
I mean, those guys will thoroughly run out of diesel before they're gonna turn even.
And you do this in Tulsa?
Absolutely.
Tulsa has a lot of bicycles, or how big of a town is it? How many people live in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Well, the transportation DNA of Tulsa, Oklahoma is exactly the same transportation DNA of Portland, Oregon, believe it or not.
About the same density and everything?
Pretty much. Portland certainly has some advantages. Tulsa has some advantages over Portland. Portland has some disadvantages compared to Tulsa.
Really?
Absolutely. In terms of demographics, transportation DNA, and so forth, they're basically the same. It's an auto-centric culture. Let's face it. We're sitting here at $4.27 per gallon Portland average as of this morning today, reported by one of the MSN. And the I-5 is still, we've still got a traffic jam on the I-5.
Well, the train from San Francisco was full to capacity. And it has been every day, and they've been turning people away. Beautiful. There were a lot of bikes on the train this time,
too. Well, you know, San Francisco, that's a completely different situation. Your transportation DNA is more like New York City.
It's somewhere in between here in New York, yeah.
Yeah, because you're very dense. A lot of your growth is going up rather than out.
That's the plan anyway.
Right.
Still have parking lots around all the offices.
Still a lot of free parking. And, if you get rid of the whole idea of free parking, let market decide what kind of parking it is, guess what kind of parking they will build.
Yeah.
Bike parking.
Well, that's what we're doing here.
Absolutely. This is a beautiful deal. I've heard of depaving movements. One of the first guys I ran into was, actually, he was akin to the Lundbergs. I don't know if you're familiar with the Lundbergs. The Lundberg Report.
Oh, yeah, the ones who report on gas prices?
That's it.
Yeah.
And this guy was out of, if I recall, out of Northern California, Alliance for Pavement Moratorium. And his last name was Lundberg. He is actually related to the gasoline Lundbergs. This was back in, in the early 90s. And I don't know if he was actually the forefather of the deep pavement movement, but I think this right here is actually a long descendant of that situation.
And interesting.
There's quite a history.
You got a link to pass on about that or anything, or a place to search?
I guess you could Google Alliance for Pavement Moratorium.
Okay.
Lundberg, Lundberg, and Google that. And right. I'm sure you, I don't know if he still had that website up, but at the time I was working in LA as a bike program coordinator, the first one, and he had contacted me about this Alliance for Pavement Moratorium. I go, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, pavement is kind of like a two-edged sword.
Well, I know 80% of San Francisco is paved. There's no that the open soil is not. There's not much of it.
That's right. It's concrete jungle. But the kicker irony of this is the pavement movement originated from the bicycle movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, five, ten years ago they were doing it in Chicago. I remember.
No. The paving movement.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Bicycle,
I agree, yes.
The